The stories you will hear are of real people and real events, but in a way that blurs the line between fact and fiction. Consider biographical fiction, or the histories of the everyday and forgotten, the tragic and ridiculous, the real and the unreal. This is The Story We Lived. I'm Gerard Ryan. There are many rivers and streams that lead into Lough Neagh in the north of Ireland, and there are many towns that these rivers and streams pass. In these towns are people, of course, and kids. Three of which, from totally different towns, would become close friends in years to come. They would meet in 1883 at university, and despite their differing backgrounds, they would become inseparable. First was Alexander Charters, son of a well-known and affluent townsman from Belfast. This meant nothing to most other than the fact that Alexander was known to have a lucrative future laid out for him. He was a natural leader and possessed charisma which swayed most in his favour, so the fact that he was studying law was a formality more than anything. The second of the trio was Henry Nelson from Ballandarry. Now, Henry didn't possess the same social grace or favour that Alexander was used to, but he came from a respected family nonetheless. His father was a renowned tailor and businessman in Enniskillen, and his prices reflected this. And Henry was expected to take over this business after his studies. The third was Alan Bell. Now, Alan was a timid young man, likely due to his tranquil and mostly solitary upbringing. You see, Alan was left at the door of the parochial house of Father Thomas Bell. Despite the efforts of Father Bell, he could not find a family who would take in the child. As was expected, rumours arose about the parents, and no one wanted to deal with what everyone assumed to be a troubled child. So here we have our three, from very different backgrounds and little in common other than their nationality. In the spring of 1844, they decided they'd meet at Lough Neagh for a Sunday afternoon, where there they took a stroll around the water's edge until they came to the docks where there sat Alexander's yacht. Well, his father's yacht. But this isn't what the other two were led to believe. And this is how well off I'm talking when I say his family were affluent. They had a yacht. In 1844. That afternoon, the breeze was enough to let the yacht be carried into the lock slowly without the need to be too wary of direction, and the young men spent a couple of hours gliding through the waters of their Sunday afternoon. Alexander entertained the two with stories about his father, who very much sounded like a more flamboyant version of himself, while Henry keeled over laughing and Alan felt utter contentment being amidst such tranquility. But unlike the tranquility of his childhood, he was with friends. Alexander felt the breeze pick up into a light wind, and with that, they turned to make back to the dock. At this same moment, Anne and Robert Archibald were taking their usual Sunday stroll around Lough Neagh when they saw it. There was an uproar at the dock between four men calling out toward the yacht, which was suddenly pulled by a gust to its side. Within minutes, the vessel silently sank. The men at the dock concluded that this was simply a rich man's boat that drifted off due to carelessness, and they had no doubt that this was the case because no one was seen actively manning or directing the boat. So that's what everyone believed, because that's what was in the next day's newspaper. Robert and Anne went about their days for another week when an article titled "Most Distressing Accident on Lough Neagh" appeared in the same newspaper. All three bodies have been recovered, it told, but one name resonated with Robert and Anne. Alan Bell. You see, 20 years previous, Anne gave birth to a little boy. They named him Alan. Little did they know that their life at that time couldn't afford a third mouth, so with much heartache they left Alan at the door of Father Thomas Bell, wrapped in a blanket, with his name embroidered on it. They did so in the hopes that he could find a suitable family to provide a good life for Alan, and for 3 years they watched from a distance and saw that he had not been taken by another family. So they moved to a different town, where they didn't have to suffer through this reminder each and every day. There was a joint memorial for Alexander, Henry, and Alan, delivered by Father Thomas Bell. Robert and Anne lost focus of each other in the following years. Robert turned to alcohol, and Anne was basically a mute. On her good days, she would paint watercolours of ripples on Loch Ness. On her bad days, she would weep in front of them. On her final day, she spoke just two words: "My son."